It's kind of like a ploy. I'm letting you look at it right now so I can kind of calm down and not be so nervous. I didn't really know how to start tonight, but I also take a lot of notes, and so, because I forget. So what I want to do right now is I kind of want to get quiet. This is how I do it, as I pray. Father, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your presence. We know that your presence is here. I usher in more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you touch each and everybody's heart here, that you make their hearts willing, that you change their attitude, that they experience the fruits of the 11th step of joy, peace, the changed attitude, the sense of belonging, your love. I ask that they have eyes that see and ears that hear, Lord, that it changes who they are and the process and the spiritual, their whole spiritual outlook, Lord, and the order in which they do their life. We always give you praise. I always want to thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you that you answer this petition. We give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I said my name's Amy, and obviously it's step 11. We're going to talk about things of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit. You know, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will, the power to carry that out. You know, I'm going to break that down a little bit later because I kind of want to get into my experience. First, I got to read God's word. There's a reason I always read God's word. I always get a download from reading God's word, right? And there's so much scripture that talks about, so and I don't have it memorized. I'm supposed to have it memorized, but I don't. But I say God's word out loud. I say it out loud because I see it, I speak it, I hear it, and it transforms me from the inside out. You know, if I want to change in my life, if I want my attitude to change, I got to hear it. For me, that's how that works. And I know there's three things about God's word. It never comes back void. It never changes. And it's never lie. It's the truth. So I'm going to say it out loud. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't know about you guys, but if you think of an apple tree, okay, there's an apple tree, it doesn't grow on its own. It needs water, it needs sunlight. You know, and you can go buy an apple tree and it's got fruit, it's good, it's good. If you take care of the apple tree and you water it and there's plenty of sunshine and you prune the branches, that fruit, this could be really good. And it'd be good year after year so long as you nourish it and you feed it. Another thing I got to pray for this before I start all of this tonight is James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all who without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I'm asking God right now for the wisdom for all of you that you can hear the spiritual order in step 11. It's a huge, I had this download, and I get really excited and really passionate, so if I start to talk too fast, someone say slow down, because I don't want you to miss any of it, because I mean, sometimes just hearing what God has to say through me, it's huge, and I get so excited. I don't know. So let's go. So, and I just want you to know that your attitude, the way your attitude is right now, it has a lot in determining what happens to you on a daily basis. Every day, your attitude, I don't know about you, I need an attitude adjustment on a daily, all day long. You know, and the Bible also says that he gives us a measure of faith in Romans 12:3, a measure of faith each day. What does that mean? I can't change my attitude on yesterday's belief system, on yesterday's work, right? Anyway, so look at my notes. If you're not at the 11th step yet, so you're new and you haven't done any step work yet, and you don't know anything about the realm of the Spirit, you don't know anything about the 11th step, can I just tell you that even though you're not sure this is for you or this is what you want, God wants this for you. God wants this for you. He wants those fruits of the promises of the 11th step. He wants you to have peace and joy. He wants you to be able to be given some direction for your day, for an intuitive thought, for a chance to live without anxiety through your day, that you can reboot all day long if you want. Even if you don't know that you want that, because I don't know about you guys, I can think a lot. Does anybody else in here think a lot? Yeah, okay. So what is the 11th step? It's about an awareness of God, about awakening our spirit. It's about being conscious of God. So why do we want to do the 11th step? Doesn't everybody want to feel loved? Doesn't everybody want to feel worthy? You will see the spiritual progression, the spiritual order in which you can find love, in which love can touch your life, in which you can love others, learn to love yourself. You know, what is it? Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. God is love. And we go through the steps learning about that. I'm going to get to that too, but I want to talk to you about my experience first. So I started drinking at age 9, and by the time I was 38, a lot of you know this, I was putting needles in my forehead. Do I have your attention? Okay. So I've lived under bridges. I've lived probably in your backyard. Maybe. I probably lived in your car in the middle of the night when I stole away in it. You know, I'm not a newcomer to the realities of addiction and alcoholism. And if I'm not doing that, I'm trying to fix you or I'm trying to tell you what to do. It's just what I do, you know. And you know, when I was drinking and using, I was out there, I didn't get a lot of nourishment. I don't know about you guys. Did anybody eat? I didn't. I didn't see a lot of sunlight. There was very rarely any sunshine. I had, you know, I had the foil along my windows, the curtains. I lived on the second story. Everything was bolted shut, so I didn't get a lot of sunlight, okay? And I certainly wasn't praying. I did a lot of, you know, quick prayers. God, you know, help me from this. Don't let the cops catch me here. Don't let me do that. So I wasn't really nourishing my mind, certainly not my emotions, not my thought process. And in essence, I was kind of stuck. You know, I was kind of thwarted. I didn't grow really physically. I actually shrunk physically. And I really frustrated my spiritual progress. Anything, and when I say frustrated, I was spiritually dead. And I really did die a couple times out there too. So, and not much can grow in those things, in that type of environment. You remember the apple tree? So, one night I'm sitting in the bathroom, and I've been there, you know, I don't know. Have you ever been sitting in the bathroom? You thought you were maybe there 10 minutes? Maybe 20? I don't know. Could have been a couple hours. I'm not sure. But I was been in there for a long time. And the thought occurred to me. I had a moment of clarity. I want you to hear about the spiritual progress, the spiritual order of this prayer. I keep saying spiritual order because there's a big deal with the order. I'm going to get to it. But I want you to hear the spiritual order of this gift, this prayer. Gift of desperation, if you will. The thought crossed my mind that I wasn't such a great parent. And the thought crossed my mind, but maybe I should just be dead. And I fell to my knees. And in that moment, I had received enough humility, enough clarity, enough belief, that mustard seed of faith, just enough belief to ask God, would you just let me die. You know, and in that moment, something changed. Something, I had a white light experience and something changed for me. You know, I'm going to move ahead in the story. For 8 months, I didn't put nothing in my body to change the way I felt. I read the Bible from front to back, front to back, front to back, front to back, 4 times. I got very religious. Super religious. And I'm going to tell you, my life did not change. There is a spiritual order. In fact, my religiousness, I call it Christianese, folks, and you know, no offense. But I got so religious that I was holier than thou. I was bigger than everybody else, and I was better than you. And my ego kept me from God. I couldn't see the truth from the false. You know, I didn't see my need for God at that point. Because don't you know that God had chosen me? My ego was that big. You know, that's part of the characteristic of my disease as well, is my ego is edging God out. But yet I could quote you chapter and verse in the Bible. I could tell you where everything was at. You know, and I wasn't drinking or using. I was good to go, but I was walking around in a mini skirt, a tank top with no bra, a cigarette hanging out my mouth, F-bomb coming out my, every other word out of my mouth was an F-bomb. Because I'm going to tell you what, I did not know how to live life. Yet I'm reading the Bible, but I'm going to church in that little mini skirt representing. I'm going to find myself a husband. And I was praising the Lord, singing hallelujah, and quoting chapter and verse at you. And my prayers weren't getting answered. There is a spiritual order in which we pray. There's a spiritual order in all the planet. There's a spiritual order in all creation. There is an order. I mean, you just don't walk in a room and a baby appears, right? If you want to build a house, you have to make a plan first. A tree just doesn't just bear fruit. It's got to be watered. The seed's got to be planted. There is an order to everything, and prayer is no different. I've read in our literature that there's a direct linkage between the direct linkage between self-examination, prayer, and meditation. And you know, it's great to do them all separately. It's great to, step one, I find out I have a problem, right? I find out that I might be the problem. Two, I come to believe in something greater than myself. I start to have this conception that there is a God that can help me. There's a God that loves me. Three, I have that hope that God is with me. And then I do the examination where I begin to love myself. Do you hear the order? And then I find that forgiveness in step 9, where I can have harmony and love others. And 10 keeps me staying humble. 6 and 7 and 10, they keep me humble. So think about this. So you got a sink, and it's clogged. We've all had clogged sinks, right? It's dirty water, and overnight you'll see that it's gone down a little bit, right? But every time you put new water in it, the water that's going into the sink is clear. But it goes into the sink and it's dirty. It's like prayer and conscious contact with God is like a spiritual Drano. It clears the pipes out. You know, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It holds great power. Great power in our prayer. Wouldn't anybody like to have great power when you pray? I'm not saying that God don't hear your prayers, because in that bathroom, God heard my prayer, but I'm saying I was postured correctly. I was humble. I'd had a moment of clarity where I'd realized my sin. And I had asked for forgiveness. I just knew that something had to change. But as we grow and as we mature and as we begin to bear fruit, I want my fruit to be tasty. I want my fruit to be ripe. Laugh. And it tells us in the Bible, Matthew 6:33. I'm going to quote scripture all night long because I love it. You know, I'm going to seek ye the kingdom of God above all. I'll seek it first. First. This gives me instruction about my day. And live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. How do we get righteous? How do we get righteous? Oh, I got to skip some stuff here. I already talked about that. How do we get righteous? It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you'd be healed. That's how I can get righteous, so that my prayers have great power. Great power. Direct linkage. I have to get right with God, get right with others. And then I begin to have this objective. I want to pray, right? So, skipping around some stuff. So there's a requirement in my development. I have to have a measure of humility. In that gift of desperation, that prayer of desperation, I had humility. I was broken. I was beaten down. And when I begin to work the steps, I see that I need less of me and more of God. Less of me and more of God. So let's break down step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, the awareness. I need to be awake. Our spirit is awake by the time we get to step 11. We're awake. We're ready to receive some guidance. We're ready to... I don't know about you guys. I cannot live a day without tapping into the power. I can't. I'm given insight. I'm just going to give you an example. So I had my girlfriend called the other day. And she says, I'm just feeling so anxious. And I don't know what to do. I don't know. Could you pray for me? I said, well, let's pray. And I said, first, you know, I need you to get quiet. I need you to use your imagination. Go there in your mind. You know those tattoos with the Jesus hands? You guys know those hands, right? So I asked to envision your mind, in your mind, being held in Jesus' hands. You know, I go to the foot of the cross. I'm at the foot of the cross where sometimes when I'm praying for things, I hang it at the cross on a nail. This is in my mind. I'm posturing myself. I have this spiritual objective in my mind. Sometimes I touch the robe of Christ. Does anybody know what that means? Royalty. And back in the day when Jesus walked the planet, kings and queens had that. It was like a velvet jeweled spot at the bottom of their robe. And when you touch the bottom of it, it meant you're touching royalty. So I envision myself touching royalty, touching the robe of Christ. It postures me right. It gets me right. I'm ready to come to God. I'm ready to be awake. I'm ready to have a conscious awareness of God. So I have to posture myself. Remember, this is so important that I say that the key word is conscious. It means making ourselves deeply, vividly aware of a God that has such a vital place in our lives. You know, God's going on all around you, in and through you, all around. The air you breathe, the sunshine, it's all around you. Wouldn't it be neat to just embrace that instead of saying, no, that can't be for me. Those are for people that, I'm not a spiritual guru, guys. I'm just like everybody else, you know. But I found a way that works for me. I found that the spiritual order, this was such a huge download. It was just that there's an order in which my prayers can be more effective. I have prayed, and oh, let's back up. Depending on your prayer, if it's what your motive is, you know, oh, God, I need that new car. Can I have a new car, please? Oh, wait, you know, could you bring me that guy? You know, I've been waiting for that guy a long time. Don't you know, God, I've been doing everything you've been asking me to. Can you? It's got to be divorce of self-pity. And bad motive, wrong motive. Now, I can pray for myself all day long, like I prayed at the beginning of this teaching tonight, because my motive is to be able to say something that you might hear, to say something that touches your spirit, that nourishes your soul, that gives you some order in which you can come to God. You can go to God any way you want. Look at how David in the Psalm talked to God. He'd ask God to take people out. You know, he did. He goes, will you just take that guy? And, you know, he would say all kinds of stuff. But God listened. God heard him. And God answered his prayers. David was a man after God's own heart. And David did all kinds of crazy stuff. He killed a man, had adultery, had adultery. You know what I'm saying? David was a crazy guy, but he was crazy mad for the Lord. You know, I can tell you my desperate prayer of desperation. I needed God. When I'm at the 11th step, something switched. The order switched for me, where now I want God. I absolutely seek God out throughout my day. The answers come. They always do. Conscious contact with God, his presence, awareness, the knowledge. It's always about the knowledge of God's will, not what we want or what we think we deserve. I don't know. I deserve a lot, you know. That's my ego. And then when I get there, I ask God for the strength to carry it out. Because of myself, I am nothing. It's my Father that doeth the work. He's the vine, I'm the branch. Apart from God, I can't do anything. Jesus calling. I love Jesus calling. So we talked about meditation, about the realm of the Spirit. Has anybody had those? So, the first fruit that you're going to receive when you pray, the very first thing that you're going to receive is emotional balance. Has anybody prayed and immediately you felt like this? And if you don't feel it immediately, you kind of get it. It comes. You may not get a direction. You know, I read somewhere that says, you know, God's will sometimes you just do one foot in front of you, and if you hit a wall, just turn left. You know, I don't know about that. When I hit a wall, I don't fall backwards. I fall to my knees and I start praying again. You know, because I know the direction will come. Even if it's to continue praying, that's direction for me. That's God's will for me. And a lot of times, I do the seven P's. That's what I wanted to get to. Philippians, right? So Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it talks about present your prayer, your petition, with praise to God, and he will grant you peace. Practice these things. I love this. Seven P's. So you get to Philippians, it's God's instruction. Present it. So it's your posture, right? There's always an order. There's an order in Scripture. There's an order in the 12 steps. There's an order in driving our car. So present our posture, the prayer, talk to God, petition, ask God, praise, gratitude, and peace. It's his promise. Practice it. There's an order in the prayer. It's the first fruit. You'll get emotional balance from doing that. As soon as this happens, you'll be amazed when an idea flashes into your mind. I was talking to my girlfriend again on the way here today. Got to hurry up, though. So I was talking to my girlfriend on the way here today. You know, I run to meditate. I run when I talk to God. And there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's, you know, sometimes there's the freeway, there's the noise, there's everything going on everywhere. And there's a lot of noise. It's in the still, small voice that sometimes it's that idea that flashes. You know, squirrel. If you guys had, you know, like you'll be praying and all of a sudden you're like, there's a squirrel there. You know, and have you ever done that? And you can't bring your mind back to the prayer. Sometimes right before that happens is that thought that flashes in your head. Practice hearing that thought. And if it goes away before the squirrel happened, tell God the squirrel just came because he knows it. Say, take the squirrel away, give it back to me. Let me have it. God, let me think your thoughts after you. Let me have an intuitive thought. Let me have a glimpse into that ultimate reality, which is God's kingdom. Aren't we spiritual beings having a human experience? Aren't we just spiritual beings? Why not tap into the spirit, the realm of the spirit? Everything that happens in the physical has already happened in the spirit. It's already happened. That's why nothing catches God off guard. Nothing. Nothing but nothing happens in God's world by accident. Just remember, it's God's world, the realm of the spirit. Okay. So y'all got that handout, right? Okay. I want you to look at it. I'm going to lead us in a meditation. It's like the last 10 minutes after I lead us through this. I want you to close your eyes, and then we're going to open our eyes and we're going to read the prayer together. So don't lose hope. Stay with me. Close your eyes. You can do whatever you need to do to get in that place. Get the spiritual objective. Focus on that objective. Place your hands, place yourself in God's arms. Place yourself at the foot of the cross, the wings of angels. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, peace that surpasses all knowledge and understanding. See yourself as the channel. This is peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. The power of forgiveness, it is strength. Forgiveness is a spirit. It's a spirit. God's love can help us to forgive. I may bring love that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. Harmony is a sense of belonging. It's about loving others. See yourself hugging someone, forgiving someone. Is there someone in your life that you have had trouble forgiving? Just let it go. There's freedom in that spirit of forgiveness. That where there is error, I may be in truth. Truth is God's love. Can't do it by yourself. God's love, it's true, it never changes, and it's unconditional, regardless regardless of how you feel, what they did, how they did it, what's going on, regardless of it, finances, regardless of anything, God's love is unconditional. That where there's doubt, I may bring faith. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. We don't see it, but we know God's got it. God's got you. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. Hope is the anticipation, a desire for things to happen. God doesn't lie. His promises are true. It's okay to hope. Place your cares, place your hopes at the foot of the cross. Breathe in deep. Breathe in the love of Christ. Receive the grace to receive the love. It's a gift. Where there's shadows, I may bring light. No more regret, no guilt, no shame, no remorse, no more darkness. Coming out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Everything grows in the sunshine. That where there's sadness, I may bring joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Give to others, share with others. Do not be dejected or sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted. Comfort is our language of the heart. We get it. We know how you feel. We know how our experience can help others, where we can comfort others. To understand than to be understood. The knowledge of God's power, we get it. We've been given the grace to be here. We've been given the grace to be free. We've been given the grace. We get that God understands where we are, who we are, and he loves us anyway. That God is grace, God is love. To love than to be loved. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the greatest gift. Now bring somebody else into that fold with you in God. In the hands of Jesus, let that other person that you're thinking about or group of people, put them in the fold with you. Love them. For to self, by self-forgetting that one finds freedom, less of me, more of God, release from the bondage of self, less of me, more of you, God. Whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is of good report, meditate on these things. Focus on these things. Think of good things, positive things, enlightening things. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. The veil is taken away now. There is a clear path. A clear shot to Christ. The pipe is cleared, the spiritual Drano. God's got this. We let go, we let God. We receive God's unconditional love. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. You are awake. God's love is eternal. Amen. There's a spiritual order. Did anyone feel it? Did you feel it? So I want to read something real quick. I don't know what time it is. I got a couple minutes. So, I believe that step 11, this is an 11-step story. Someone wrote this. So I believe that step 11 can be used constantly, every minute. Once you've established a certain way of thinking, it becomes a habit that gives new meaning to everything in life. There is not one moment when you're not using or experiencing some way one of God's miracles. Only miracle isn't the word. Because what I'm thinking of is not the exceptional, unusual, or rare phenomena, but the ordinary experiences we all have all the time. What makes miracles of these commonplaces is our seeing what's before us as God created. It means no longer taking for granted the familiar things of life that we never used to give a passing thought to. Something as routinely as a breakfast of orange juice, eggs, and buttered toast and coffee. They have converged upon our table from the far corners of the country or the world, each achieving its intricate character by means of something no mere human could devise. The bright oranges on their trees, drinking in sunshine and health for us, the ingenuity of man that transported them into our reach. And surely it isn't hard to think of an egg in terms of a miracle, that combination of nutritional elements, vitamins and proteins all neatly protected in a shell, or the wheat that made the bread, drawing its special sustenance out of the earth for us, the complexity of a cow that gave us the butter. All this could have only been created by a power far greater than we are. When we habitually think in this way, we develop a constant awareness, a constant wonder at how we're being cared for by that power. The things we use and wear, the materials needed for our jobs. We tend to regard them as man-made, but when you think back to the source, what did man use to make them? And where did it all come from? So perfectly adapted to its purpose. Let's too think about the way circumstances often come together in totally unexplained, unplanned ways to help us out of a dilemma or to help us learn a new point of view. Consider too the selfless kindness of our friends, especially in a fellowship like ours. All of this seems to me is part of a plan I can't always understand, but I can always accept with deep gratitude and humility. I want to thank Marcelo for having me here tonight. I want to thank my friends for making the journey here. And really, I'm thankful for all of you. You know, because without you, I don't know where I would be. You know, the love that you gave me taught me to love myself and find God. You know, I'd like to say the 11-step prayer together, all of us. Maybe stand. If you want. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Thank you for having me. Oh.
Thank you. Let's give it up for Amy D again. Praise the Lord. Great job, Amy. Thanks for bringing us through that spiritual order. I really resonated with many of those precepts that you spoke about tonight. And we're going to move on to the next part of our program.